Hey guys, this is Zeeshan from Reality of Life. So today's podcast is about how successful people think. What comes to your mind when you hear this line, successful people? Is it money or satisfaction? Money is important or not? Yes, exactly, it is important. But how much money it requires to call someone successful? It could be defined as even after satisfying all his need, a person is left with a substantial amount of income, so that's called a successful person in terms of finance. Second, you need to have time. Time is actually very important. You might be doing something which you like and you have all the money in the world, but if you don't have time for your family, your relationship, forget about relationship, you may not have time for yourself. Someone might ask you, do you do exercise daily? Do you sit alone to give yourself time? And then you reply, no guys, I don't have that much amount of time. So what do you call this? Is it success or is it failure? Keep this thing in your mind guys. It's not only about the money, it's also about the time. Daily one should have 2 to 3 hours free for himself. What we do is that we work from our body and mind. But when we talk about taking time for ourselves, we mean that we need to work on the body and on our mind. Understand this guys, money is important to satisfy the needs of your family and your needs also. And time is important to spend some quality time with your family, with your friends, your relationship. If you don't give them time, then relationship is over. Then even if you have a lot of money, it's actually of no use. And we even need time to work on ourselves. Ourself maybe on body and mind. We work from body, so obviously body requires some kind of maintenance and it need to function properly. Let's take an example of a car. We use a car for our transportation, for our navigation from one place to another, and then the car also requires something, that is the servicing. Similarly, we work from our body while doing some work or maybe some activity, and it requires some maintenance, like maybe an exercise or maybe a small tour, and also taking time to understand our mind, that is to understand what all thoughts are going on in our mind. What are the fears that we are facing? What are the root cause of these fears? And can this fear be eliminated just by the clarity of thought, or do we need to take some action? In short, here we are talking about observing our mind. This gives a direction to our mind. A person who does not work on his mind lives a directionless life. Even if he or she is making a lot of money, still they are living a directionless life. What is the use of it, guys? Third is freedom. Whom do you call a successful person? One who's born to behave or act based on others' will, or the one who acts on his own? Obviously, the second one, right? Here we are talking about freedom. Freedom to do anything, whatever comes to your mind. This might sound a bit small, but think about it guys. You have all the money in the world, all the time, but you are not able to use these resources in the way you want to spend. So how can you call this person a successful person, right? Fourth, it is satisfaction. Not in the sense of laziness. Notice this guys. Whenever we are happy and satisfied, we are actually filled with a lot of energy. Just take an example, the day you graduated. So that day, you were very much satisfied with your marks, your degree, and you were very much happy that you accomplished something in your life. And at the same time, if someone asked you, or a friend might have asked you, let's go for a party or maybe a long drive, you would have been more than happy and filled with more energy to take them. Whenever, even if it was 12 o'clock in the night. So here are all the four things by which you can call someone a successful person. First was money, second was time, third is freedom, and fourth satisfaction. After knowing this, we need to find out that one person who has all these four things in him and understand their thinking. Understand this guys, if we align our thoughts similar to what these kind of people, these successful people think, then automatically we start acting like them. The way you think is the way you act. Actually, you cannot act without thinking. People who are highly successful, they constantly find solution and way to do things to improve themselves. And people who don't achieve success in their life, they actually find excuses. And they use their favorite weapon, that is the blame game. These kind of people blame their parents, their friends, their education system also, and to an extent they even blame the God. Even blame their destiny. They might think that this was not in their destiny. Just imagine you are hungry and you want food. So just by sitting at home and craving for food, the food won't come to you, right? Or come to your plate. You just have to go out, work hard, get some money and buy some food for yourself. And believe me guys, there are 90% of the people around us who use this blame game. And we humans have inbuilt quality that we mimic others. So imagine if there are 90% of the people who use this blame game, give excuses and you know are the best people to find excuses to not do things. So we knowingly or unknowingly also follow their footsteps. And sometimes because of that, we reach to a level that we use an excuse to justify our failures. This happens because we copy the 90% of the people, the crowd around us. And those 10% of the people who are actually successful, we don't follow them because they don't fit in that crowd. They have a different pool of thinking. They look at the things in a different perspective. And that's not the fun part, guys. And that's the reason we don't enjoy it. And the major problem is that we want enjoyment on immediate basis. At this point, at this time, we want this. But that doesn't happen. Everything takes its own time and pace. What successful people do, they find things, qualities and activities in others that they can immediately put to use in themselves and start working on it. Not after 2 days, not after a month, but immediately. They constantly ask themselves, can I make my life better by implementing this activity or this quality in myself? And can this be put to an action on immediate basis? And this learning attitude and the speed of action gives them an upper edge over the population. And this is the way, guys, to grow in life and be successful. And that's all for today, guys. Happy weekend. See you soon. Bye-bye. Hey guys, this is Zeeshan from Reality of Life. So today's podcast is how to stop being an emotional fool. The meaning of the word lies in the word itself. Emotion, energy in motion. What if this energy works out of control? So there could be two situations. One, the energy is in control of you, or maybe the emotions are in control of you. And the second, when you are under the control of emotions. So how will be the life of a person who is under the control of his own emotion? It will actually be a complete disaster. At one point, the person is very much excited, very much happy and motivated, and the next moment he is very much sad, depressed. Even if the person is overexcited, the things are actually bad. Usually what happens is your overexcitement leads to overcommitment. Think about it. Your worst decision was not made when you were depressed. It was made when you were overexcited. You overcommit than what you were supposed to do. This all leads to bad decision making. There are only two important decisions in your life. One is of your relationship. The other is about your career. Both these decisions has to be taken with proper understanding and free from any emotion. Let us understand how these emotions get generated. Some would say that this is due to the happening in our life, like something happened and then this emotion gets generated. But this is not the case. Just observe this. In a day, there are so many happenings, maybe so many of events that take place. But do we have an emotion attached to every happening or every emotion? That's not the case, right? So the cause of emotion is internal or external? Internal, right? And this is the biggest problem people suffer, that they think that these emotions are actually generated from external world, but it's actually because of the internal things which are happening inside. Let's say you have a desire for a car, and this desire is actually very strong. So the moment you see this car in the traffic jam or somewhere else, the emotion starts triggering inside you. But what if there is no desire of this car in you? Then even if there's hundreds of these cars lying around, or maybe they're passing by, you won't have any emotional feeling attached to it then. The moment all these desires start getting fulfilled, an emotion called as greed starts getting developed. And greed is not only restricted to things or materialistic thing, they're also related to people in your life. Just for an example, you like someone and that person doesn't have that much feelings for you. But the same person is actually in love with your friend. So definitely you will feel angry. You will start getting jealous about it. So what is the root cause of this? Your emotions are actually overpowering you. Hope you guys are understanding the problem of the desire. And there is something funny about desire, is that we don't create this desire, but this desire get created or developed in us. It is our wrong thinking that we feel that this desire, we choose them, we actually choose our desire, but this is not the case. Desires get developed based on our upbringing, our environment we live in, the friends we have, the movie which we see, and also the ads which we see on television. All these contribute to our desire. All this desire can be good in short term, but may be harmful in the long run. But what if we choose our desire by our own self? We are actually under a wrong impression that we choose our desire. But in reality, there's a whole lot of marketing that goes around in creating this desire. I remember during my MBA, we had a concept called as AIDA. The full form of AIDA is attention, interest, desire, and action. Just to explain this, we'll take an example of you. For example, you are a person who is a fitness freak, who likes supplements, who like nutritional food. And then you have an idol, let's say for example, Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps. And then you found that these celebs or these sport person are endorsing some brand. So let's explain this AIDA model with this example. So let's say you're watching television and you see your favorite celeb, let's say it's Usain Bolt. Already your attention has been achieved by placing your favorite celeb with the brand. Then the celeb tells you that this product or whichever product he or she is endorsing is actually good for your health and it's actually good in terms of performance. Then it develops an interest in you. The moment attention and interest is developed, they pass on to desire, where you feel the urge of buying that product. Let's say you want to buy that product because you want to look like so and so celeb, or maybe you have so much of affinity towards a particular person or a particular celeb, and that's why you want to buy that product. In short, that contributes towards your action, that is the final part of AIDA, where you go and actually purchase that product. Even if that product has been not used by the celeb themselves, but just because you think that the product has been endorsed by so-and-so celeb is actually good for you. And everything about this endorsement or this advertisement is about money making. Some might argue that these celebs already have so much of money in their account, then why are they endorsing such products? The simple answer to this is greed. Just observe this. You already have an affinity or an image about a particular celeb, and then that person is actually endorsing a brand. At that point, your mind will never come in between your emotions and your decision. And this creates desires in you. The more the desire in you, the more the confusion you suffer in decision making. In my life, guys, I have done a lot of mistakes. And whenever I have done a mistake, it is due to a desire which overpowered my emotions. And these emotions actually overpowered me. So whenever I took a decision based on emotions, I actually failed miserably and had to suffer for 3 to 4 years just to come out of that thing. So this is the reason, guys, I have started this podcast. So I'll share experiences of my life, the mistakes of my life, so that you as an individual should not commit such mistakes. Now I'm at a stage of my life where I don't get stuck up with decisions, or I don't make any vague decision, because there's no desire actually in me, but the energy to do anything is all time high. And the simple reason behind this is that I have planted the right desire in me. Now, what is the right desire and a wrong desire? To take over or to get something is a wrong desire. To make ourselves capable is the right desire. To make ourselves reach to the highest potential of our own is actually a right desire. The moment we plant the right desire in our mind, there's less confusion in decision making. Then we take a right decision without being an emotional fool. And whenever there is less confusion in our life, we become peaceful. And this contributes to overall success. So that's all for today's guys. See you tomorrow. Bye. Have a great day.